Good morning, church. Today's scripture will be in James 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you are a guest today, maybe even a member, you may be thinking, how did I get here on the day we talk about money? How does that work? Now listen, I didn't plan it. The Lord planned it. I tell people all the time, you know, I love preaching through books of the Bible. And one of the reasons I love preaching through books of the Bible is that you get to preach all that's in the Bible. I love it. I also don't like preaching through all the books of the Bible and preaching through everything that's in there, because when you come to a passage like this, you go, oh, I got to preach this. This is what we're up against. And so today, to him who has ears, let him hear. Have you ever been riding down the interstate here in Middle Tennessee, maybe even in any state? If you're here today as a guest from another place, you're riding down the road and you see those billboards. You know what billboard I'm talking about. They're everywhere. It's the billboard that says that if you buy the ticket today, you could win $230 million. Not that I looked on the way in or anything. Have you ever thought about, okay, I'm going to win this money, or I'm going to have this money, and then you're going to figure out, you've been running through your mind, you've played that game, how will I spend this money? How will I give all of this money away? I think you're thinking about all the different lives that are going to be changed. You're thinking about how your life is going to be changed, but you realize, or if you don't realize, I want to tell you, there is an organization called the National Financial Advisors Endowment that says that over 70% of the people who come into large amounts of money like that, within 3 to 5 years, will file bankruptcy. This seems incredible. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yes. Listen, I want to tell you that your life will be changed, but statistically, by research, it will probably be changed in a negative fashion, along with the lives of all that are around. Quick money, fast money, people not knowing what to do with that. How does that handle? I was reading the story about a man who was already a millionaire, self-made millionaire, $17 million worth. He had been in the building industry. Nobody knew it because he didn't live like it. He ended up buying one of those tickets, and he won 90-something million dollars. Within a little bit of time, all of his relationships around him began to dwindle and die. People were dying, were asking for money. People were coming out of the woodwork. He had been scammed so many different times. The hard thing was, is many of it was by his family members trying to get the money out of him fraudulently. It ended up destroying his family, even so much so the man committed suicide. And I wish I could tell you that that was those different types of scenarios. There was story after story after story when you read about these types of things. And some of you may be thinking, oh my goodness, you, like me, many times you may be thinking, man, if I just won that money, or if I just came into some money, however that would happen, my problems would be solved. I want to tell you, that's not true. That's not true. Oftentimes, more money means more problems, all right? The issue, though, that I want to make sure that you're really clear about, that I'm clear about, is that God doesn't hate wealth or riches because he gives wealth and riches. Now, everything that we have, he's given to us. As we read in the scripture in James chapter 5, that everything that comes to us is a test. He will test us with how we are going to utilize the gifts that he gives to us. There is an old bishop pastor. His name is J.C. Ryle. He writes this. He says, it's possible to not have money and love it. That'd be me. I don't have any money. He says, is it possible not to have money and love it? And it's also possible to have money and not to love it. Folks, I want to say to you in here, it doesn't matter if you have a lot of money or you have a little money. It doesn't matter where you're from. Here's what I can tell you. this passage today is about us today. It has a word to us because it is like what Paul wrote to Timothy. It's not money that is evil. It's the love of money. The love of money. When we begin to take our money and our possessions and we begin to place a higher value and love on them than we do the one who is the giver of those things, what we end up doing is what Paul wrote about in Romans. We exchange the gift for the gift giver. You realize the one who gave the gift of riches and wealth is worth far more than what you have in your account. You see, the amount in your account is not the issue. The issue is how are you handling what it is that he's given you? That's called stewardship, a manager. How are you managing the finances, the possessions, the homes, the cars, the precious jewels, your clothes? How are you handling everything that you've been given by the Lord God? Are you stewarding it? Are you managing it for his glory and for his kingdom? Or are you using it for his economy? Do you know what the Lord's looking for today? Who the Lord is looking for today? He's looking for conduits. People that he gives his finances to in his economy, that he would say, my hands are open, and you continue to funnel it to those and to situations that are in need. Those who are faithful with little, he puts in charge of much. Now, before you run off and write me off as health and wealth, prosperity gospel, and expect me to say, come sow a seed, I'm not talking that. Here's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about recognizing that the giver of every gift is greater than the gift that you have. It doesn't matter what you have. We're all called, doesn't matter how much or how little, we're all called to steward it to the glory of God. All of it. So you may have a lot of big numbers and highs, lots of zeros in your accounts, or you may be going, no, my account is like zero. Well, whatever you have, you're called, I'm called. And Paul jumps in real quick. We're just continuing on. Do you remember last week in the passage that we were reading about last week? He was talking about, come now you who are going to go here and there and say, we're going to tomorrow, I'm going to get up and we're going to make some money. I'm going to go make a profit. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. And he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? He continues that on in this thought and he says, come now you who are rich. Who is he talking about in this passage? That's a question that gets asked a lot. Who is he talking to? Is James talking to people who are believers, or is he talking to lost people? I want to tell you that he's talking to both, lost people and believers. He's talking to us as a church. He's talking to us as a church today who have people in here from all types of socioeconomic backgrounds. He's talking to people in this room and in that room, the places that they were, who had houses and camels and donkeys. They were able to make money. They had lots of clothes. They had lots of gold. And he was talking to people who were being abused and ruled over by those who didn't have those things. Do you remember in the beginning of chapter 2, he says, listen, you've been given preferential treatment to those who are poor, to those who are wealthy. You've been saying, hey, those of you who have a lot of money, come sit up front. Those of you who don't, you sit at the back. He says, why are you doing this with the poor people? Poor people, why are you doing this? These rich people, they're the ones that are enslaving you. They're the ones driving you to the courts. What is it that you're doing? And now what he wants us to begin to catch when he speaks to all of us, and there's two points that I want you to see today. I'm going to go ahead and give you both of them because I'm going to try to walk through this seamlessly. Number one is this, is that there is a misery that happens when we focus on materialism. There is a misery in materialism. Number two is this, is that just as if there is a misery in materialism, there can be great joy in generosity. There can be great joy in being a generous person. So here's what he's wanting us to see as he speaks to us as a church. He says, listen, I need you to listen up. Hey, listen up. Now, some of you in here right now, you're thinking, I hope so-and-so is listening to this. I hope they're listening because you're judging them based on what you have so often. You know who's rich, don't you? Anyone who has a little bit more than you. That's a lot of what happens. That's how we evaluate people. They got a lot of money. Well, I want to say to you, in the scope of our world, of the world's economy, we are in the top 1% of the economy of all the world. we are in this very room. That's not to negate, that does not negate that there are poor people in our society. There are people who are in need. And I think the Lord has given us an opportunity in that. But I don't want us to look at someone else, and I hope they're listening. Today, for those of us in this room who have ears to hear, let us hear. Let us hear. You see, what James was speaking to the first century has relevance to us in the 21st century. Verse 1, James says this. He says to his listeners, he says that misery and howling are coming because of how you have stewarded your wealth. Because of how you steward your wealth. He's pointing to them. You've been trusting in the finances. You've been trusting in the materials that the giver has given. You've been looking at the gift more than the giver of the gift, and you're trusting all that he has. You're trusting those things more than anything. He says, your hearts are set on those gifts. Did you realize that our finances, how we spend our money? When I was growing up, I had a pastor who would say, if you pulled out your checkbook, we don't use a lot of checkbooks anymore, if you pulled out your credit card statement, if you went to your bank statement, and you began to look at your entries, you would begin to see what it is that you love the most. Where our finances flow to lets us know where our heart is. If you don't believe me, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6 and see what Jesus has to say in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said this to those who were listening, who were sitting on that hillside. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is where your heart would be. Listen, I would like to think, you know, that we would all go, we love this, I love this person, I love these things, but if we're not careful, what ends up happening, we don't send our treasure there, we send our treasure to what we really love. And so often, what we really love is what makes me feel good, what I want, what I need. I'm going to get up, I'm going to go make money, I'm going to make a profit. Remember, he's just talked about this in the passage before us. And he says, listen, you're not leading your heart. Your finances are leading. This is why we in America are in trouble. Did you realize that statistically, most people will live anywhere from 115 to 125% of a month on what they more than what they make? Excuse me. Let me make sure I say this correctly. Of what how we live our lives, we live as if we make 15 to 25% more than what we actually make in a month. How do we do that? Well, it's on debt. It's credit. It's consumer debt. We're living far above our means. You ever had a situation where you're sitting there going, wait a minute, there's more month than there is money. My experience is this, and I'm not a financial counselor. There are people in here who are way more smart in this world than not. But when I do sit down, I end up counseling a lot of people. And when I sit down and I start counseling, I begin to realize that, listen, it's not the income as much as it is the outgo. You see, and in those instances, what ends up happening is that our gifts, the gift giver has given us gifts, and we are far exceeding those. We're saying, listen, I need more. I need more. What you've given me is not enough. It's not enough. How did that exhibit in this passage? Look at verses 2 through 5, really 2 through 6. And I want to hit these quickly because I want us to talk about what it means to be generous people. Look how he talks about these. In verses 2 and 3, he talks about people who are hoarding their finances. He says, your riches have rotted. Your riches have rotted. He says, and your garments are moth-eaten. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. This hits me in the face. I don't know about you, but I have a closet. Today I went to the closet trying to pick out there's too many shirts to pick from. Too many pants to choose from. Have you ever met someone who not only has a closet, but they have another closet in another room? And not only do they have another closet in another room, they have to box. Men, quit elbowing your wives. Don't do that. Don't do that. They box it up. They box up their clothes for another season. Listen, you know what? Look what he says here. He says, your garments are moth-eaten. That means they've become, He says, you've got so much. You've got so much. You're sticking all of your money into stuff that is going to rot and be moth-eaten. Verse 3, he says, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidenced against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've laid up treasure in the last days. You've laid up treasure in the last days. Did you realize that gold and silver does not rust? Its principle, its chemical makeup, they don't rust. He's making a point here to you that the tarnishing of the silver, you're not utilizing it. You're burying it away. You're hoarding garments. You're grabbing food. You're sticking it all back as if to say, I got this, God. I got it. I'm going to take care of myself. I've got it all. I can handle all of this. If you were to go back over into chapter 6 of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about, it sounds a lot like this. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy. It sounds a lot like James is talking like his half-brother Jesus here. He's using the same language. Immediately following that, he says, you realize that the birds of the air, they never worry. The lilies of the field, they don't toil unless they are dressed splendidly. You see, this is where our anxiousness comes. Why are you anxious about all this? Why are you worried about money? The gift giver has everything that you need, and yet you're hoarding it away, you're hiding it, you're burying it, you're holding on to it when I want you to have it and keep an open hand to those who don't have. To give glory to God. He's given you finances. James is speaking to people in another century, right? No, he's speaking to us. He's given us all that we have. Our clothes, our money, our cars, our homes, our possessions. Have you ever gone to your garage man and looked around and you realize, oh, I've got like four hammers. I got two mowers. What do I need two mowers for? Am I getting ladies now? Ladies, don't be laughing. I just told them not to poke you on garments, all right? This hits close to all of us, guys. You see, the Lord gives finances to us and possessions to us so that we will use them in His economy for His glory. Notice the last thing that I want you to, the second thing, there's herders. Notice verse 4. Verse 4, he says, behold, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord. Now, I would hate to think this would hit any of us, but he's talking to business owners here who have gotten rich off the backs of people, and they weren't paid their due wage. He's looking and saying, hey, what are you doing? You're defrauding the ones who have worked for you. You're not giving them their due money. It costs $75 to get your yard mowed, and you're sitting around here going, hey, I'll only give you 30. What? In fact, I don't even have it. Come back tomorrow, and I'll give it to you. This is the type of thing that is going on here. And did you notice what he said here? Notice what he says at the end of verse 4. He says, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. The host, in an Old Testament setting, the host is the army. He says, listen, these people, they're working for you, they're following, they're doing what you're asking them to. You're defrauding them, you're holding back their money, you're robbing them. You're robbing them, and they're now crying out to me, and I've heard it. The Lord God says, He has heard it, and I will take up their cause. I will take up their cause. You remember the passage last week that God stands opposed to the proud, the arrogant, who says, listen, this is what this passage is speaking about. When we arrogantly think, Lord God, I got this. I'm going to trust in my money, my possessions, my talent, my time. I got it. I'm going to handle me. And the Lord God says, no, I'm giving you finances for my glory. Students, I want to make sure and say this to you guys right up here. For you guys, you may be going, I don't earn much money anyway. Can I tell you, you need to learn this principle today? Because it only gets harder the more money that the Lord gives you. That everything you have, parents, you're maybe thinking, I hope they hear this. They're going to hear it as you live it. As you live it. That everything we have is for the glory of God. Everything that he's given us. Notice the last thing in verses 5 and 6. There's hoarders, there's herders, and there's hedonists. You've lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You've fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered the righteous person. And he does not resist you. The picture that he gives here, he says, listen, I've given you everything that you need. I've given you everything that I want you to have so that you use it the way that I want you to use it for my glory's sake. I'll continue giving it to you. But what you've done now is that you've used it for your own self-indulgence and you've lived a life of luxury. He says it's as if you're being led to slaughter and you're going to eat a big old meal and you don't even realize what's coming. It's like that story that I told last week about the builder. Remember the parable? Jesus told a parable. He says, listen, one man who had big barn, or he had lots of produce. He had a great harvest. And he says, listen, I've had so much. I don't have room in my barn, so I'm going to tear this barn down, and I'm going to build a bigger barn. And he didn't even realize that tonight he would die. Folks, we have to live as if this is it. Lord, you've given me money. You want me to use it for your kingdom's sake? Where do you want it to go? You're having eyes that are looking. They're open. They're trying to find out, how do I invest in kingdom work? I want to move quickly to the second point about the joy of generosity, because you can hear that the riches that he talked about with the wealth and the finances that he talked about in the first part there, he says they didn't do him any good in the day they lived in. They won't do him any good in the end of their days. It'll be misery. Did you see what he said there? The cries of the harvesters have reached my ears. You've condemned and you've murdered the righteous. He does not resist you. You've fattened your heart in the day of slaughter. James is serious when it comes to how we handle our finances that the Lord has given us. I want to point you to a passage as we look at generosity in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Paul is speaking about the generosity, the giving of the Macedonians. He's been talking about this in chapter 8. He's moved into chapter 9. And he tells the Corinthians that they needed to take up an offering. They need to grow in the grace of their giving, continue to take up an offering. Would you please do that before I come so that you can help me on my way? And he says, each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart. That means that all of us must be thinking about how are we going to be givers? How are we going to be givers? Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That tells us that it is possible for us in our giving to have joy in our giving. For us to guide our heart, to lead our heart, not follow our heart, but I'm going to guide my heart. Lord God, I want to give generously and I want to be joyful in my giving. Did you realize that generosity is good for today and for the day to come? In Matthew chapter 6, if you were to go back over there, I'd love for you to look at it later today. Jesus says, don't store up your treasure here on earth where moth and rust can destroy. You store it up in heaven where nothing can be destroyed. Nothing will ever touch it. Why is that? Because when we invest into God's kingdom, when we are generously giving time, talent, finances, homes, cars. When I say giving homes, I mean opening up your homes. I have four cars. I don't personally, but maybe you do. I got four cars and I only drive one of them. Get one of those cars into the service of the kingdom. I want to open my home. I want people in my home for the glory of God. I want to have margin in my life so I can invest my life. God, listen, I don't want to be living at 115 to 125% of my budget. I want to be living within my means so that I can invest into the kingdom of God. I want to see God's kingdom put forward. I want to stop here for just a moment. And I want to say to you, as a church, If you're a member of this church, if you're a part of this church, I want to say to you, this is a generous church. This is a generous church. You guys give. Because you give, we were able to meet. We had pay the light bill. We get to have the AC on. Thank you very much. Some of you are going, you could save some money if you turn it down a little bit. We have our ACs. We have staff people. We get to have vacation Bible schools and camps. The glory of God is going forth. We were praying this morning for people to come to know Jesus Christ who are going to be sitting in these rows today. Thank you. You give tithes each and every week. There are people who are faithfully giving a tithe back to the Lord. Can I say thank you for those of you in here who are tithing and you're also generous with offerings? Thank you for how you give offerings. Because you give offerings, we have people who are sent around this world who are living on mission. Not just from LifePoint, but in other ministries that we are investing in. Many of you gave so that students could go to camp on scholarship. They had no way to go. Had it not been for your generosity, I think Shannon Stevens, our men's minister, sent out a text a few weeks ago saying, hey guys, why don't we sponsor 5 folks to go to camp? I think that was right. If Shannon, you can correct that. Five kids to go to camp. I think you ended up, men, you gave, ladies, through your family, you gave so that 7 or 8 kids could go to camp this year. You're sponsoring, you're giving offerings so that people can go on mission. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every week, if you've never been back to our family room, out the doors, down the hall, there's a bucket down there where it says food pantry. There are people who bring food every week so that poor people, benevolent people, could have food. Who, literally, they don't have any food. And we provide that. Thank you for that. I've told you about our backpack program that during the school year, we're taking food to the school so that kids will eat on the weekends. Thank you. You're a generous body. You're a generous body. Thank you, thank you. Because we tithe, because we give offerings, there are church members who periodically will let me know, I don't know, there is just more month than there is money. I need help. And we get them to the right people so that they can receive counseling. How can we help you? Just so you know, we never give finances. We always pay bills. Try to help pay a bill because this is what we do as a family. That happens because we're a generous body. That happens. I hear from you. I hear from you about when you've stepped into someone's life or someone tells me someone stepped into my life. I said, I didn't even know there was an issue. No, my small group took care of it. I had a buddy who just stepped in. You're a generous body. Continue, run. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But can I tell you, the enemy sits around the corner waiting to trip you up. Some of you, listen, go work hard, tithe, give offerings, pay your bills, eat at your home, go on vacation. But can I tell you, you're going to be tempted this year to like take your tithe with you on vacation? There's going to be a car that breaks and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Can I tell you that the Lord will never leave you out? He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to take care of you. I'm not telling you something that I've not lived and do live. You see, what happens is we get our eyes on the gift and not the gift giver. We start looking at what we have that's been given to us by the hand of God, and we start thinking, I did this. I got this. I worked hard. I can do this. Now listen, do you realize our whole life is a life of stewardship, management of what it is that he's given us? Our finances are a witness to who we follow. How we handle the wealth that he's given us. And I want to encourage you, put the Lord first. Put the Lord first. I have the opportunity, the privilege. Sometimes it is a heavy burden as I'm sitting meeting with people who are talking to me about their marriage issues or their situations that they're facing. It is usually high percentage of time it revolves around finances and money. Finances and money. Usually I'm talking to them and I'll say, hey, I don't want to know amounts, but let me ask you something. Do you tithe? Do you give? Are you being faithful with what God's given you? You talking to me? Yeah, it's you and me. That kind of answers the question. Anecdotally, I've never been in a counseling situation with someone. I'm saying me personally. With someone who is in a financial strait. And they're giving. They're generous. They're probably out there. You may come to me and say, hey, I've got a testimony of this. Folks, I'm going to tell you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we've been commanded to be generous. We've been commanded to be open-handed with the gifts. We've been commanded from Scripture. And I can tell you, our good Heavenly Father, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who doesn't need our money, gives us finances so that it will fund His kingdom ministry. And He's not going to leave you stranded where you think you are. He's not going to do it. I've watched it. I've seen it. He will move heaven and earth for you, for this church. So I'm asking you, I'm imploring you, I'm calling you. If you're not being faithful with what the Lord has entrusted to you, move to faithfulness today. Move to faithfulness. Because there is much joy when you are generous, because you begin to see the kingdom of God moving. You begin to have a front row seat to it. You begin to see kids saved, people sent on mission. You begin to see homes changed. You begin to see people who didn't know how things were going to work out, you begin to see your small group move in and come together. Folks, I ask you, will you join me in being faithful with the finances that the Lord has entrusted to us? Let's pray together. God, I love you. I'm thankful. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of this body. And Lord, I pray you would make us more generous. God, I pray that the finances, the gifts, the materials that you have given to us, entrusted to us to manage for your glory, Lord, I pray that we would recognize quickly when their claws seek to sink into us. When the enemy wants to blind us and lie to us. So, Father, make us giving people. Make us generous people. I thank you for your Son. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. The Scripture tells